MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, you might have heard that Australia is moving quickly to ban under-16s from social media. From December, platforms are going to have to verify ages or face heavy fines. Tech companies say the ban is unworkable. It's easy to bypass. Governments say it's about protecting children. So, obviously, the legal battles have already begun and the world is watching. So let's take a broad look at this issue and maybe even a South African perspective. And digital law expert Emma Sadler from the Digital Law Company is with me now. Emma, how legally solid is this ban in Australia likely to be?
Well, I'm so happy you're talking about this. And I think that it is legally solid. I think that there are problems with enforcement. They brought out the law at the end of last year, Jeremy, and the effective date is the 10th of December this year. So there was 1 year for compliance for tech companies to get their house in order and to work out how they're going to try to comply with this law. And I have to say, from a big picture point of view, I'm delighted, because I think that this idea that the age of internet adulthood should be 13 is a mad idea. Anyone who's got a 13-year-old would know that's the time they should be skipped away from social media, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, in the most strident way. But I think that it's to be welcomed in terms of just getting the conversation started between parents and children. What age is appropriate for these apps? And of course, we know there's going to be workarounds, but I think it's a jolly good start.
Let's get to those workarounds in just a moment. But do you sense then, or you may be suggesting, that this could be a little more symbolic than effective?
Yes, I think, well, we know that, you know, for me, it's a bit analogous to banning alcohol. You can ban alcohol and say that it's illegal for people under the age of 18 to drink alcohol, but at least, and then we know that there are a lot of children under the age of 18 who do go out and successfully get alcohol, whether it's using fake IDs or older siblings or whatever workaround, but at least it creates, Jeremy, a societal norm, which is that children under the age of 18 shouldn't be drinking alcohol. So it creates exceptions rather than the norm. You know, I think that one of the biggest issues that parents face is the societal pressure, the peer pressure, that your child comes home in grade 4, 5, 6 and says, but mummy, I'm the only one not on the WhatsApp group, and I'm being left out and I'm being socially excluded. Now, that really is a reason for you to get your child a phone, a device, get them access to social media, because nobody wants that child to feel left out. So if we can shift that norm to, well, actually, these places aren't appropriate, and I can tell you, I'm the first responder when things go wrong in South Africa with children. And they are going horribly wrong. I mean, I can't even tell you the kind of content that these children are exposed to. If we just look at the average age of first exposure to pornography, I think what we're dealing with is more like 9 years old at the moment. And so if we can start getting that conversation, because I think that the world has been slow to wake up about the harms of social media on children. And I think if we can kind of get that collective action and collective think going about, well, if I've got a 9-year-old who's scrolling on TikTok and not going to sleep at night unless they're falling asleep in front of YouTube, maybe things are going a little bit wrong. And Jeremy, I know we're talking about Australia, but I have to tell you that in France, there have just been recommendations made to a parliamentary commission there. And there are a few features there that I loved. They're talking about introducing overnight digital curfews for 15 to 18-year-olds. So no social media between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., having a ban on mobile phones in schools. That's something we're seeing around the world. And one of the most fabulous things is the introduction in the coming years, the proposal of creating a crime of digital negligence, where parents who are allowing their children to be brought up quite literally by their devices, well, actually saying, well, maybe that's not the best idea.
Emma, let's go back to your argument about, or your, the point you made about workarounds, and let me maybe extend your alcohol analogy a little bit. Surely teens are just going to find different ways, for instance, use VPNs to bypass the system.
Well, we saw that in July, Jeremy, because the UK brought out the Online Safety Act, and we saw in the week following that, which basically meant that if you wanted to access adult sites, you had to submit a government-issued identity document or a credit card, because credit cards are only available to people over the age of 18. And it was amazing, because the number one downloaded app for the next few weeks were VPN apps. So the official stat was there was a 1,400% increase in VPN usage in 1 week. So yes, there are workarounds. There's been a big study done by the University of Melbourne and by Princeton University testing these age estimation tools. What Australia said is there are three ways you can do it. You can either have an age estimation tool, which is when something inside your computer, inside your phone, scans and analyzes your face and decides whether or not you're old enough. So they were showing in the study that if you put on a mask, an old man's mask, you can quickly get around it. Or if you show a picture on your phone into the camera on your computer, you can get around it. Now, we know that there are going to be workarounds. The second thing is to provide official ID. And then, of course, people said if you just Googled a driver's license example and submitted the fake one that you find on the internet, that worked. And then the other thing, which I think is probably the most effective, is age inference. So platforms can guess a person's age using the existing data that they have on them. So for me, I'm a mum, I've got two kids, so there's a lot of stuff around children. They would know that I'm old enough to have children from what I look at, and then they would be able to assess that I'm older. You know, if you suddenly an old man mask access this content and then you're very interested in K-pop demon hunters or something, which is really for the tweens, then you would realize there was a problem. So of course it's not flawless. I think we know there are so many workarounds, but I think it's just so cool, Jeremy, that people are finally saying, okay, enough of this idea that our children are exposed to the kinds of harmful content. The French report I referred to earlier said that TikTok knowingly exposes children to toxic, dangerous, and addictive content, and that it's a production line of distress and a spiral of harmful content. I told you, I'm on the ground. I can confirm that's exactly what we're seeing. So I think it's to be welcomed. I just want to quickly say one of my favorite things about it, if we carry on with the alcohol analogy, is that in South Africa, if a teenager goes and buys alcohol, then the teenager is committing a criminal offense. And the way the Australian law is formulated is that it would be the company committing an offense and would have to pay a fine to the Australian government. And the fines are huge, up to 30 million Australian dollars, if they make that platform available. So it's almost a reverse onus. It's saying the companies must do something to comply with this law rather than making the 12-year-old who's got the TikTok account a criminal.
And Emma, just a quick one in conclusion, is there an appetite for this debate in South Africa right now? And if we tried something similar, would it face onerous constitutional hurdles?
So I don't think it would face onerous constitutional hurdles. I think it would pass constitutional muster. I would love to have a similar law in South Africa. And in fact, we've been working on one in my company, a draft law. The real problem, Jeremy, will come in with how do we enforce it? Because we've already got this very serious problem of international tech companies basically saying, oh, we don't have to comply with South African law because we don't have jurisdiction in South Africa. If you think about Poppy and the information regulator saying to WhatsApp, saying to Snap, TikTok, how are you complying with Poppy? They don't give a damn about Poppy. And until our government is strong enough to stand up and say, okay, well, if you don't comply with South African laws, we're going to cut you off in South Africa, then they'll just carry on doing whatever the hell they want.
Emma Sadler, thank you very much indeed from the Digital Law Company.